and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Maren Johns.
Maren Johns, substituting for Ann Northrup this week. Nice to see you. Why don't you tell our viewers a little bit about yourself?
I'm so happy to be here. And hi, Ann. I hope you're watching. I'm the editor-in-chief of Curve Magazine.
Curve Magazine?
It is America's best-selling magazine for lesbians, queer women, and bisexual women.
Uh-huh. That's all you want to say right now?
That's all.
More will be revealed as we go on. In the news this week, well, you know, today as we're taping on November 20th, today is the Transgender Day of Remembrance, and we're going to talk about some progress that trans folks have made against all odds and turmoil in a community under siege.
We have a bit of bad news with a particularly egregious appointment by our president, Mr. Trump. He's tipping the Second Circuit to a Republican majority with a new appointment.
Yes, that's our circuit here in New York. You probably read this week that Chick-fil-A tried to moderate its opposition to LGBT rights, and then they got a lot of pressure from the right wing, and they backtracked.
And we mourn the loss of the judge who brought Iowa into the modern era through marriage equality in 2009.
Before New York, even.
Yes.
In fact, we lost our court case here. A printer in Alabama is refusing to print a college magazine because it celebrates LGBT inclusion.
And there's a lot of turmoil and tension in Hong Kong right now.
Oh,
but,
God.
Well, the LGBT Pride Parade went ahead, but in a new form.
Yeah, that's basically it. The Pope, this week, compared anti-LGBT rage to Nazism. But he doesn't seem to want to moderate Catholic opposition to gay love.
And in a very nice antidote to that, we have the first gay ever winner of a country music award, and he's black as well.
First gay musician.
Oh, musician.
Yes, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. And
why don't you take this last headline? It's a lesbian headline.
Oh, look, if I could flash back and tell my 11-year-old self that Charlie's Angels would finally have a lesbian angel, she wouldn't have believed it.
Well, we'll get to that in entertainment news. But we do start with the Trans Day of Remembrance. You know, every week on the show, practically, we show you pictures, and we have an assemblage of pictures here. Pictures of trans women, mostly African-American, young trans women who are murdered in this country all the time. It happens all the time.
Right, the HRC has it at 23 this year alone, I believe,
is
the figure.
Yes, and these are only the people that we know of who have been murdered. This is the fifth year in a row where those murders have topped 20. So it's rough. And, you know, this was also the week where we saw how even otherwise educated people have a lot of trouble talking about this issue. Hillary Clinton.
I mean, she's put her foot in her mouth before. I do remember, I think it was a couple of years ago, she said that Nancy Reagan had been a great
yes.
champion of the AIDS cause.
Yes.
And I wondered who had advised her on that topic, because everybody knows it's not true.
It was the opposite, actually. But in this case, she was on BBC Radio about transgender people, and she said, "I do think there's a legitimate concern about women's lived experience and the importance of recognizing that, but also the importance of recognizing the self-identification of transgender people." This is all relatively new, she said. She said, you know, we're from a different generation. A lot of people are uncomfortable in a locker room or a dressing room with a trans woman. And she agreed with all that. And the thing is, yes, it's not like it's not out there, but she's supposed to know better.
She can do better.
She's supposed to know better, and she could be moving it along. And she just seems to want to say, well, people are uncomfortable, they're uncomfortable.
I think she's trying to keep a foot in both camps. What she's doing, she was in England to promote the book she's written with her daughter. It's called The 100 Gutsy Women. And I think she doesn't want to disappoint her cisgender, biologically female, pink pussy hat wearing fan base.
I think most of those people are very cool with transgender folks.
They are, and I think it's to be frightened that you're going to alienate your base
right.
is a real oversight on her part, I think.
That's true. Well, so a lot of work to do, and we have stories about that. We have a story from Utah where a trans woman went in for a get her driver's license renewed picture.
Right.
And tell us what happened.
There was
a
bureaucratic belief that this somehow would create a problem for the state because her facial recognition it wouldn't match up with her birth name. So the bureaucrats there, and it all comes down to that very petty level of officialdom when you're trying to cross a border or come up against legislation. They forced her to remove her cosmetics using hand sanitizer.
Yes, she said, how am I supposed to do this? And that's what they gave her to do it. And she was stung with her face, having to use this.
But I do wonder legally if they were not entitled to request her to do that.
They have a regulation, apparently, in Utah. You can't wear extreme makeup, is the phrase they use.
Define extreme.
Exactly. So, actually, eventually she got some kind of an apology. But the woman's name was J.D. Dolinar. But she's gone public about all this because she doesn't want it to happen again to anybody where you come in and they do this. I think that these people, these bureaucrats or whoever, people, they do get uncomfortable. They're like, what are you, a man or woman? What's going on? I mean, what are you trying to do? You're trying to figure... And then they take these actions on their own. It just, you know, and it's very... we're just trying to show how tough it is these days. Still, it is. All right. And then we had some turmoil in our own community over this. The National Center for Transgender Equality went through kind of a meltdown this week.
What is happening? Is that staff cutbacks? Is that a disagreement?
The majority of the staff has left. It's gone from 23 staff to 7. Now, this is a 16-year-old organization, and there's lots of racial tension. The staff wanted the director, Mara Kiesling, and her deputy, Lisa Motet, to leave. Mara says they're going to go forward. They're eager to recognize a union. That was one of the issues, having a union at the organization. We want racial diversity, so we hope you can work it out. But look, nobody said these things are easy. These things happen in the community, especially when there's union organizing efforts where people start to conflict. All right. A couple of other trans notes.
It was good news to see Gavin Newsom decide to fly the transgender flag in Sacramento in the Capitol today.
Not a hard decision for him, but he did it.
It's important. It matters.
Yes, it does. It does. It stands up for us. And it was nice to see in Los Angeles that they opened the first publicly funded bridge, what they call a bridge housing project for trans women in L.A. County. It's called Casa de Zulma. The goal is to link them to permanent housing. They got 16 beds and case management and things. But in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, again, more trials. A trans woman is working at Dunkin' Donuts. And
yes.
So she's assaulted by 3 customers. And the manager says, if you can't take it, you're going to have to leave. I mean, if you can't take it. I hope that Dunkin' Donuts is stepping in on this.
I hope so. It's in my cup. This is what I'm drinking right now. It's Dunkin' Donuts. We don't want another boycott, do we?
That's not Dunkin', is it? Oh, that's what you're drinking.
But speaking of Pennsylvania, transgender people do live in rural areas. They don't always live on the coast. And luckily, there's a report coming out.
Yeah.
It's actually from the Movement Advancement Project, MAP. And the report's called Where We Call Home, Transgender People in Rural America. So do look that up and educate yourselves about where trans people are living and where they need support.
We know a lot of you are out there because you send us emails and you write to us about your experiences there in the heartland, in the more isolated areas of this country. I mean, I can remember when I was growing up, there was a therapist named Charles Silverstein. And this was early on in the movement, and he would get calls from around the country because he had a prominent name in the community. And the people would call from those areas, and they said, what should I do? And he would say, you need to leave. Now, in those days, you need to come to a place where you can be yourself. More and more people in the rural areas are being themselves. We get mayors elected who are transgender and small towns and LGBT in other ways, you know. So we are making progress.
Yes, and congratulations to Danica Rowan for winning.
Yes. In Virginia. Re-elected to the Senate. Before we get to some of this, let me just see. Yeah, you want to talk about politics? Governor John Bel Edwards in Louisiana got re-elected.
Narrowly, 1.4% margin, but
not the most liberal guy. You know, he's not even pro-choice, I think. But he beat the Republican, and Trump was a big loss for Trump. Oh, you know, I forgot. Before we go on, there is an international story that I want to bring to people's attention about transgender folks. It's a good one, all right? Are you sitting down? Remember when we had Ricky Nathanson on the show, transgender
yes.
activist from Zimbabwe, and she was arrested for going into a women's room
in a hotel. Cracked down on her. She was put in prison for 3 days. She felt completely violated through the physical exams
yes.
that she was subjected
yes.
to.
And she fled. She came to this country.
Yes.
But she sued before she did. And they've settled this lawsuit. She won a $400,000 judgment.
She said she released a statement saying, you know, it really does prove never give up. You really have to be tough, and you have to know your rights.
She is
and
tough.
You have to really take on the authorities and challenge them.
Yes.
Because laws, they can be made.
Well, that woman in the Dunkin' Donuts, she's also suing through the EEOC in Pennsylvania, which does not have a gay rights law, but which interprets sex to mean also transgender. But she's also left Pennsylvania. She's now homeless in L.A. But Ricky is here working in Washington, D.C. in a transgender program. And,
yep.
But this is the first time the Zimbabwe judiciary has recognized that gender does not have to be either male or female,
right.
is what they're saying in the decision. Zimbabwe!
That's progress.
It sure is.
Okay, thank you,
now,
Nikki.
Back to Ricky. Politics. All right, last week we started to talk about how Pete Buttigieg is rising in the polls. He's now leading in not just in Iowa, but in New Hampshire.
Right.
What's going on? And, of course, we're taping on Wednesday, so we haven't seen the Democratic debate that's taking place tonight. I assume, as the new front runner, at least in those states, they're going to be going after him.
What do people like about him, do you think?
When I first saw him on TV years ago, several years ago, he ran for head of the Democratic National Committee. He didn't win. I was very impressed with his poise, his thoughtfulness,
smart.
And everything. I get a little annoyed with some of his positions these days, because he attacks Elizabeth Warren over Medicare for All. And by the way, this week she sort of, I won't say moderated her position, but said, look, it's going to take some time to go to Medicare for All. And she acknowledges that. She's not saying you can't snap your fingers in this country and get a new policy.
Right.
You got to get it through the Congress.
Right.
So, but anyway, where are we? Yeah, in Iowa, it's now Buttigieg 25, Warren 16, Biden 15.
But he's had a little bit of a 15. Stumble with the little bit of racial blindness there.
Yes. Well, yes. Talk about this. He did a big ad because he's nowhere in South Carolina where the majority of the vote is African-American.
Right.
And so he did a big ad. He's got the Frederick Douglass plan for African-Americans.
It's combating racism in America.
There was a problem.
There's a problem. And I think the problem is, I understand he's a very busy man. I understand there are many arms to his campaign, and he's had to hire contractors to do some of the work, which includes getting the images together for the campaign.
Yeah.
But he uses a stock image of a Kenyan woman. We don't know who this person is. They're
with
not an American national.
No.
I think we need to do a little bit better than that.
And even more so, they put 400 names on this ad for his plan, endorsing his plan, and some of the people said, I didn't endorse that. And you really got to make sure you got that right. You don't want that to come back. And he's got a lot of staff. He's got a lot of money.
He does, but it comes down to this issue of race again in this country as an idea rather than as a real issue people
yeah.
are actually wanting to really address.
Yes.
It's not something that can be addressed with just a Shutterstock image or...
I don't want to go too far on a limb, but I think racism is what elected Trump. You know, and then discomfort with the advance of people of color and of women, basically, was what Trump was a reaction to.
It's conceivable that we could have a gay president if he's white.
Well,
it's conceivable.
We had a black president. Did you 20 years ago? Did you think that would happen in this country?
only if it was the end of the world, because I saw that in disaster movies. It was always Morgan Freeman was the president, but that's how we knew the world was ending.
Well, it was the end of the world. We had the financial meltdown,
right.
And that is what elected Obama, you know,
right.
And turning away from George Bush and his wars and things.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
We'll see what happens with Pete.
Yeah. And so also in New Hampshire, he's at 25 and Warren and Biden are at 15%. Now, the analysts who look at this, remember, I keep saying everybody's 25, 15, 15, all this. This never happens. Usually it's a front runner and everybody else is behind. If that keeps happening, you could literally have a brokered convention. And I don't think there's been one since Jack Kennedy in 1960 where they actually went to even a second ballot for the nominee, you know, when he made a deal with Lyndon Johnson and blah, blah, blah. I don't want to get too far down in the weeds here, but that's it. So, but only 36% of the Democratic voters say they have a firm choice for, I don't have a choice. You've never heard me express one here. We're neutral. For the moment.
And I need to come out of the closet here and I'm going to be neutral as well. I don't want people to think that my comments are in any way kind of partisan, because I'm not allowed to vote in this country. I'm not actually a citizen. So I'm very objective about all of this.
And we try to be nonpartisan here. You probably don't believe that. We try to be fair to everybody, you know, I mean, including Republicans, if they would just do something right, you know. Pete is also having to deal with a video from 2010 of him at a Tea Party convention when he was running for. I didn't know that he had run for the Indiana State Treasurer, but you know he is one of these guys who thinks he can bring everybody together. You know, Obama tried that. It didn't work. You know, remember how much time he spent trying to meet with Republicans and work with them and everything? I prefer the Franklin Roosevelt quote about Republicans. I welcome their hatred, is what he said.
But was he doing at a Tea Party convention?
He acknowledges in this video, look, we don't agree on many issues, but we maybe do if we talk. I mean, I wish we could do that in this country. I mean, what's it like? I don't know when the last time you were in Australia was. But
a couple of years ago.
You've got some divisions going there as well. We'll get to them in international news.
What's happening in South Alabama? Did we have a, speaking of tea parties and keg parties and all sorts of things, there was something in Alabama that went
Yes,
down.
And we will get to it.
That.
I think but let's stick with Mr. Trump now, we started talking about him. And let's talk about what happened in the Second Circuit. That's this one, New York,
The
Second Circuit. He got this guy through. We have a picture of him, Stephen Menasche. He was only confirmed 51-41. He could only get 51 Republican votes for him. Even, what's her name, Susan Collins said, he's anti-gay, I'm not voting for him.
Wow.
I think she was given permission not to vote for him because they didn't need her vote.
If she doesn't like him?
Well, she's running for re-election, and in Maine, she's got to be able to say, I've stood up to the president from time to time, which she hardly ever does because she's given us all these judges.
Will Trump now have a record number of appointments?
Yeah, he does. He's got about 20% of the judiciary already.
Wow.
Now the Republicans have a majority in the Second Circuit. This guy, Menasche, he's never tried a case. He has never made oral arguments in court. He has never even observed a criminal trial. He's somebody, a lawyer who worked in the White House.
How will he make a decision?
Now he, you know, and he's affiliated with all these right-wing groups. Oh, you know, I mean, he's going to rely on staff and clerks and things like that, but it's an outrage. He won't know how to conduct a court proceeding without somebody in his ear. Notice we don't wear IFBs. We don't wear those things. We just talk. What'd you think about the president's 4 o'clock in the morning exam this week?
He's saying he wants to get the jump on a very busy year. Not sure.
He said it upset Melania very much to read in the papers that he was perhaps having a heart attack or something. What, didn't you talk to her yourself? I don't know. And of course, he continues. You're new to this. I mean, we are dealing with this ongoing crisis and everything. Do you have any insights into how we're going to get out of this mess?
I just think vote like your life depends on it, because it does.
Okay, it does. And, you know, Trump continues to attack those testifying against him. Even Liz Cheney criticized him for that, for going after Marie Yovanovitch last week. And then we have, you know, the guy who runs immigration policy, not that we didn't know he was a racist, Stephen Miller, but all of his white nationalist emails were uncovered. And so you've got tons of people asking that he be removed. And, you know, they ought to just vote in the Congress to say you can't pay him out of government funds anymore.
Right.
They could do that. They could do that. All right. Some other national news. The American Medical Association is pushing for a ban on conversion therapy. Speaking of conversion therapy,
that would be I would welcome that very much. So
yes. What else? You did the movement advance. The census. They just announced something in the census. Now remember, Trump is saying, I don't want to know who's gay. I want you to get rid of those questions. He just wanted to find out if you're a citizen, and they stopped him from that. But they do periodic reports between censuses, and they now estimate.
Right. Yes.
Let me ask you, how many same-sex married and unmarried couples do you think are living in the United States now?
Ooh, I mean, I always went by the 10% rule.
Well, couples, it's 1%. It's 1%. It's a million. Which is that 1% of the couples in the country. And again, it's a hard thing. I mean, technically, I have a roommate who's a male. I don't know, you know, he's hardly ever there. He works in Iraq. But he's my roommate. He'd be on the lease, so they might think we're, an unmarried couple.
Yeah, I think it's probably, whatever the official figure is, it's probably higher.
But they don't want to know about single people who are gay or bisexuals who live with an opposite-sex partner. But it will ask... On the census in 2020, they're going to ask you, is your marriage same-sex or opposite-sex or something in between?
This is why I always look up the Williams Institute, because they make reports that really do connect with our community, and their figures are often much higher than the census statistics.
So. Okay. Well, we talked about judges. I guess we should talk about the guy in Iowa who died. It's very sad.
Mr. Cady, right?
Yes. I didn't even register his name. It was a unanimous decision that he died at the age of 66.
Too young.
My age.
66.
Yes. And he wrote the unanimous decision in 2009, opening marriage to same-sex couples. He died of a heart attack. He was appointed by a Republican governor.
Right.
Both sides seem to respect him, like him. He championed end of life without parole for under 18s. I had no idea they put people in jail for the rest of their lives when they were under 18.
He was a good guy, by all accounts.
He was a good guy. Now, he didn't get recalled. They don't actually have a recall. They have a retention vote in Iowa. And they got rid of three judges, the right wing, the religious right, three of those judges who voted for same-sex marriage. But they weren't able to repeal it or undo it. How about what's going on with, what's going on with the Christian printer?
Oh, the Christian printer.
In Alabama.
Well, there's a lovely young woman who's been running a university publication for 3 years, and the printer has refused to publish it because of its gay content.
Yeah, we got a picture of it. Look at all those rainbow colors.
On religious grounds.
They see you know, I don't understand this thing about the rainbow. It's a big thing in the Bible too, right? It's their God's sign that he's not going to do the flood anymore, right?
Well, I think a bigger problem is the First Amendment in this country, because the First Amendment is freedom of speech, but it's also freedom of worship. So now you've got it at loggerheads.
I have to say, I mean, I think it's sad that this printer rejected all this. This wasn't a pornography magazine. It had articles about LGBT inclusion.
Right.
They see those words that aren't printed. I have to say, we get into this all the time, printers have always been allowed to decide for themselves that they're, you know, not going to print certain things. You know, you would if you don't want to print pornography, for instance,
right.
If you really don't want to print pornography, you don't have to print it or, you know, make a movie about it or whatever.
Well, I want to say to Sarah Boone, if you're watching, 21 years of age, come and work for Curve. Let's get your stories published with a magazine that doesn't care what the religious right thinks.
Yeah. I mean, it gets more complicated with wedding cakes because they could be on the shelf, or did you ask them a custom-made cake and these things. This will be the ongoing battle for the next 100 years in this country if we survive that long. And then there's, speaking of religious...
Oh, what I'm not having for lunch today.
What?
Chick-fil-A.
Why?
Ever.
I haven't eaten. I've never tried it. Have you ever tried it?
No, because...
No.
Because?
They give a lot of money to religious right groups, Christian groups and things. And this week, they came out with this big announcement that the two big ones that they gave to, the Salvation Army and Christian Athletes, we're not going to do anymore. And then what happened? Then the religious right got furious, Mike Huckabee, others, and they went after them, and they caved.
I can go somewhere else for my fried chicken. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's, but I have to say, reading these stories, all right, so everybody's upset at Chick-fil-A. We're not eating Chick-fil-A. I don't drink Coors beer because of the old Harvey Milk boycott about that. I know they've reformed since then, and Berea pasta. But we give a lot of money to anybody who goes to these right-wing churches, Catholic Church, synagogue, mosque and things. These are mostly anti-gay organizations. Mm. And what do we do about that? What about politicians who belong to these anti-LGBT faiths? We tend to like back off and say, that's not a problem. On the other hand, if they belong to an all-white country club, we would say, oh, no, don't do that. So it's a tough,
it's a tough one.
Why Chick-fil-A as opposed to all the other anti—
We'll get to all the other ones.
Will we? Okay. All right. We just don't want our tax dollars going to them. Gay students in Oregon walked out over a Chick-fil-A truck at their football games. So some of the other students, charming, came out and waved Chick-fil-A at them and MAGA hats
gosh.
It's a war in this country. And you mentioned the Salvation Army.
Mm.
Last week, I think we talked about the fact that they were called out by Ellie Goulding.
Oh, she's a good one, yes.
I don't know her.
She's a pop singer. The young ones like her. Young bisexual ones like her. she's great. And, like a lot of pop singers like Kylie Minogue, they have a huge following in our community. So she knows which side of the bread
She was going to perform at a game, and she said, but they're benefiting the Salvation Army, and I don't want to do it. So the Salvation Army came out with all this defensive stuff about we serve everybody, we don't discriminate.
Mm.
They do, a lot of these religious organizations who get government money, they sign contracts that say we're not going to discriminate in hiring or in provision of services. But do they? And then we find out that they do.
I've heard different things over the years, and I'd like a clear statement to be made.
I was asked to do a training for them in 1983, when I worked at the Hedrick Martin Institute, on gay youth issues.
Did you find them gay-friendly?
They were receptive, and I don't want to get this wrong, but they ended up writing a joint report with our boss at Hedrick Martin, and then he was forbidden from publishing it, article together. So they still get nervous about it.
Right.
All right, we did Alabama. Okay.
Did we mention that Kansas City in Missouri has banned conversion therapy?
Yay!
For LGBT minors.
Or any minors. If you try to change their sexuality, you can't do that. And that's catching on across the country. I don't know if that's ever going to end up in the Supreme Court. We'll see.
Mm.
They claim freedom of religion. But again, we're not stopping religious counselors from trying to, stop you from being gay, but you can't act like you're a therapist who gets reimbursed for Medicaid or Medicare or something like that. Not Medicare with kids, obviously, but, so that's the issue. All right, we did the Chief Justice, you got that. Let's see where we are on this. How are we doing?
About national.
Yeah.
All wrapped up.
No, we have a few. This alarmed me more than any other story this week in Ohio. The Republican House passed a bill that says, I want to get it right, students cannot be penalized if their work is scientifically wrong, but as long as their reasoning is because of their religious beliefs. So if you want to say the world is flat, or if you want to say the world was created in 6 days, 10,000 years ago, and that's your belief, you get an A. I hope that the Satanists and the witches come out of the woodwork and start asserting themselves and then and freak them out. But I hope there's a lawsuit about this. But,
How is any teacher going to teach science,
for example? When I posted this on Facebook, somebody had a good idea. And they said, on the test, you could say, what do the vast majority of scientists teach or tell us about this issue? And then you would have to say, objectively, the vast majority of scientists say the world was not created in 6 days, 10,000 years ago, which you'd be shocked at how many people believe that out there, honestly. It was, you know, it's eons long and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, that would be a way around it. But it's very weird. Now, it passed the House. It goes to the Senate, but that's also in Republican hands, so I don't know. We have, Bishop DiMarzio in Brooklyn. Now, he was just the Catholic bishop there. We got a picture of him. He was charged with going to Buffalo and cleaning up the sex abuse mess, right? He comes back to Brooklyn. He's accused of molesting an altar boy in 1970.
Oh, yeah.
Brooklyn Bishop Nicholas DiMarzio.
Wow.
And I have to, he denies it. And, you know, he deserves due process, which is more than you give us. You condemn us without even knowing us. I have to give my, how are we doing on time? Yeah, we got a little time. I have to give you,
I'm so curious about the statute of limitations on these cases.
They lifted them
this
year.
They lifted it,
well, actually, this is a Jersey case,
right.
And the guy's waiting until they lift it in New Jersey. We lifted in New York. We had made a one-year window. You had a one-year window to sue. I have friends who've done it. You know, because they were abused by priests or other personnel in schools or others, you know.
So, look at George Pell in Australia.
God,
that's
yes.
A huge case.
Right, right. So, but my Bishop DiMarzio story is I covered the bishops instituting their new policy on sex abuse back in the, I guess, you know, it was whenever they did it in Dallas 15 years ago. And we were not allowed to talk to the bishops. Unless they said it was okay.
Right.
We had to write our name on a piece of paper, and if they wanted to talk to us, they would talk to us. So I wrote, I want to talk to Bishop DiMarzio.
Okay.
And not, I didn't know that he was, you know, screwing around with older boys, and maybe he
Allegedly.
Allegedly. We do say that. But I'm standing there in the press room, and his press agent, you know, his communications guy, is looking through the list of people who have asked to speak. He goes, "Oh, Andy Hum, like, we're going to talk to him." And I went up and I said, "Mr. Jones," or whatever his name was, "Andy Hum, you're being very unprofessional."
Ouch.
Well, all right. Brooklyn, we're good. In New York, a gay man is suing something called Eventique. Do you know them?
No, I do not.
They're a big event planning group. He says he was fired because they discovered his sexuality. At first, the boss said, "I'm going to pay you half because that's what the women make." Oh, boy.
Let me get this straight. This is an event planning company
yes.
in New York City.
Yes. It's unbelievable. Anyway, it's too much. We'll see how that turns out. And in Indianapolis, the Central Library has an LGBT exhibit there in Indianapolis. And it's named after Chris Gonzalez, his collection. We used to work with him, Ann and I. He was a big youth activist, died in 1994 of AIDS. But that's the core of this exhibit. Indianapolis.
Good for
home
you.
Home of Mike Pence. Well, actually, he lives in Columbus, Indiana.
And many other good people.
All right. We're going to international news.
Okay.
What do you got?
Oh, what have I got? Well, the good news is that acceptance of LGBT people is increasing globally. But in the places where we're not accepted, it's also the discrimination there is increasing as well. Uh-huh. So basically, it's becoming more extreme on both sides.
Yes. Well, let's talk about some examples. Well, I mean, you know, in Ireland, where we've made lots of progress in recent years, right?
Yes.
But research by an LGBT youth services group, Belong, it's called, found that 77% of LGBT teens still face verbal harassment, 38% physical harassment, 11% physical
right.
assault, being punched and kicked and all this kind of stuff. And the stories are heartrending of what kids are still being put through, even though they pass same-sex marriage, 60%, right? All that.
Right. And many of us tend to look at Africa and worry that it's a lost cause in terms of LGBT rights, but it is not. We have some good news. Same-sex relationships are now no longer a crime in Botswana. That's the fifth, I think, nation in Africa to be moving in the right direction. Of course, there's other countries like Kenya and Uganda that are not very cool with us.
Right.
But
on the other hand, Liberia, there was a party of LGBT in the LGBT community, a private party. It was violently attacked by a mob in Monrovia. This is in a private venue. They forced the gate open, and then they started throwing rocks and stones. This was a party to promote HIV awareness and testing. So they destroyed a vehicle. The police arrived, and the police started cursing out the people at the party. Sodomy is illegal there, and it's driving the community underground.
Yeah, those anti-sodomy laws are very interesting. Section 377 was repealed, I think it's coming up to a year now in India. And inspired by that, the folks in Singapore would like to see their equivalent colonial British age law repealed. Yeah. And there were activists that are there working on that now because Singapore has leapt ahead. It's really quite a cosmopolitan country now and its laws don't match up with where the culture is now.
And in that same region is Malaysia.
Right.
And this week they administered the punishment to four gay men convicted of sodomy, six switches of the cane, and 7 months in prison.
That's Sharia law, though, right?
That's the thing. The Sharia, or Sharia, whatever, let's call the whole thing
off.
That is for Muslims in the country. I mean, I think if I did it, I don't know what happens if I do it with a Muslim. Does he get a penalty?
I think you're in trouble.
Whatever. And what about what's going back in your home country of Australia?
Which part?
Well, the Attorney General there, Christian Porter. Do you know him?
I don't. Not personally.
I don't know him either. He's pushing a federal law to increase discrimination protections for religious people who want to discriminate against us. Our side is calling it the Religious Discrimination Bill. So
Look, I moved away from Australia about 14 years ago, and I don't know why we've swung so far to the right since I've been gone.
But you voted for same-sex marriage there, too.
Yes, and it was a struggle, though.
It was a real struggle. They require you to vote.
They do. It's compulsory.
You? Yeah.
But we have had a resurgence in Australia of the religious right and also evangelicals that have that that philosophy that God wants you rich. What is that
prosperity
called?
Prosperity gospel.
Prosperity gospel.
Well, that's what Trump's religious advisor, this woman in the White House, is. That's her promotion.
Right.
Is prosperity gospel.
Yes. Well, we were talking earlier. It's one of the reasons that the New Zealand Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, she has really demurred on the issue of banning conversion therapy nationwide because she's worried about religious freedom laws.
Well, then you have what's happening in the United Kingdom. We've told you that they're requiring sex education now. So first there were protests at local schools by Muslim parents. Well, now you've got a rabbi there. Do you have this? In Manchester, who says that faithful Jews should give up their lives rather than comply. One is not allowed to give one iota. It would mean saying goodbye to the next generation. They're freaking out about this.
Wow.
But, you know, in the United Kingdom, religious schools receive their funding from the government.
Right.
Well, of course, they get more
it's the state, right?
But not there. In Ireland, you know, the schools are mostly run by the Catholic Church, but they've had to comply with a lot of gay rights stuff, LGBT rights stuff. In Ireland, the government is finally saying, you want to give it up? I mean, if you want to run the schools, you got to treat gay. And the Catholic schools are going along with that.
Right. And while on that topic, you heard about in Northern Ireland, there's a slight hitch bureaucratically to getting married.
Yes.
If we're in a civil partnership,
right. We
actually can't get married now because
we have to
2 years and or we can separate or, you know, under
unreasonable. In other words, once you get a civil partnership, you can't dissolve it.
Just
before
to get married.
2 years.
That's right.
And it's crazy.
So people are frustrated.
We want conversion therapy from civil partnership to marriage for these folks, which is going to start in February, around Valentine's Day. All right. In St. Petersburg, good news, an LGBT film festival went on despite threats. And then Hong Kong. Now, horrible news from Hong Kong. They're arresting all the students now.
Well,
as we sit here.
6 months of riots that are pro-democratic, but they seem to have tipped over into a kind of anarchy. And one of the problems with having Pride there this year was the state put an ordinance through that you could not wear masks in public. So that's a buzzkill for Pride.
We have a law about that here in New York, too, that you're not allowed to wear masks at a demonstration. I don't want to get into it too much, but I once testified on behalf of the Ku Klux Klan when the ACLU asked me. They just wanted me to say, I've covered many demonstrations where people wear masks, But the Klan did not get the right to wear masks at their demonstration. They could take off their hoods, and there were four of these idiots standing there, and there were 10,000 of us protesting them.
Wow.
In right downtown in New York.
Wow. Well, you know, in Hong Kong, very brave people turned out anyway for what was a peaceful, had to be a non-moving, they weren't allowed to march or move anywhere,
But look at them. They had 6,000 people.
6,500.
It's less than in the past because there's a lot of fear in the streets right now.
But,
They were shouting anti-government slogans. I don't know what's going to happen here. You know, China's not a liberal society, and they're cracking down on Hong Kong, which they said they wouldn't do, but they're doing it.
Well, the economy now that Hong Kong has tipped over into an official recession, this is going to have shockwaves in the region.
Aren't they killing the goose that laid the golden egg? You know, why can't they leave well enough alone?
Right.
I guess they don't want it being part of China as a symbol of freedom. And people who lived in Hong Kong were more used to that. Then there's the Pope.
Oh.
So Pope Francis, he compared politicians who rage against gays to Hitler. If you just condemn homosexual acts, you're called a pope, which is what he does. But he referred to persecution of Jews, gypsies, and people with homosexual tendencies. You know, we're a little beyond the tendencies at this point ourselves. But he said... He referred to a resurgence of symbols of typical of Nazism. And he said some of the speakers these days in politics remind him of Hitler in 34 and 36.
Not mentioning any names at all, no.
And in Indonesia, the court rejected the legal challenge from students who were fired. They allowed a lesbian story to be published on their website in Indonesia. Just a story, you know, kind of a short story.
Interesting.
And they were accused of, it was a story about unrequited love. They were accused of pornography, and just LGBT content is forbidden. In Brazil, they're cutting sex education under Bolsonaro. While the HIV epidemic rages.
Not a good move, but
right.
Yeah.
Which brings us into AIDS news. The city comptroller, Scott Stringer here, is trying to claw back Gilead, they make Truvada, to claw back some of their executive pay because they've been price gouging all these years. They don't expect it to succeed, but they're putting forth a shareholder resolution.
Did I tell you about this excellent documentary film I saw that I really am recommending this to everybody?
All
just
right.
A quick ad here.
No.
Documentary called 5B.
5B.
And it's named after the ward in the hospital in San Francisco, which was the front line for the first cases of AIDS in. They had no clue what to do to help these people. They made it up as they went along. They didn't know if the surgeons were going to contract the virus. It was so frightening for them, and they were so brave, and they interviewed all of them. They did it. They... really did help change hospital protocol.
So they didn't, come in with hazmat suits or leave the food at the door?
They fought it. They changed the actual hospital's protocol in dealing with these patients.
Yeah. Look, I knew gay people in the beginning of the epidemic. We didn't know what was causing it, and they would serve their friends on paper plates. They just didn't know. And I remember when we had the first person with AIDS over to our house because he was an old friend. And I thought, what do we do with the plates or the utensils that he used? And I said, if you can get it that way, we're all going to get it.
Right.
Because we all go to restaurants and things like that.
That's right. It's a great film, so do watch it if you can. Very good film.
Thank goodness. You can't get it that way.
Yes.
We don't have... we'll be able to talk about this on next week's show. They're announcing today big new plans for the AIDS quilt, the NAMES Project quilt. Cleve Jones is going to be there, Nancy Pelosi. It's at the Library of Congress. We're sorry we don't have the news for you. We will tell you next week. All right. Entertainment news.
Oh.
Country Music Awards.
Country Music.
Lil Nas X. We've been talking about him. Is he only 19? Something like that. He's the first out gay musician with Billy Ray Cyrus, who's not gay. They won the musical event of the year at the Country Music Awards for their remix of Old Town Road.
I haven't heard this song, but I'm dying to play
it. We did. It's very catchy. It spent an unprecedented 20 weeks on the number one at Billboard Hot 100. It beat out a lot of established acts. two LGBT writers have won in the past for music, for Follow Your Arrow in 2004. And he also won the MTV Video Music Awards in August. So he's riding high.
And I like that he's a person of color in this territory. I think that's really important to say in country music.
Well, we always had Charlie Pride, you know.
Yeah, but
not many,
not enough.
Though.
We
not
need
many.
More. Not, yes.
And almost zero gay people. But now, you know, it's happening again. You
and
know,
gosh, he looks good in that hat.
He sure does. I went to, why don't you talk about Charlie's Angels?
I have not seen it yet. So, but what I have heard is on the grapevine, there is no hiding Kristen Stewart's gayness, both in real life and in the character. And I think Elizabeth Banks did actually say that this character
I guess in the middle.
For sure gay. Yeah, there she is in the middle.
Yeah. Kristen Stewart. Yes, the producer at first was reluctant to talk about whether or not they were that this was a lesbian character, and
of course she is. She's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. Damn it!
Is that all it takes?
And a pair of Crocs.
Oh, so Elizabeth Banks is the producer there, and she was very mum about this. All right, I'm gonna give you a little review. Look, I was just. In the neighborhood. For those of you coming to New York, you know, you want to go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, you want to go to the new MoMA. We all want to do that. These are the places you go. We have a wonderful place called the Morgan Library.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know who J.P. Morgan was. This was his house. And, I go there whenever I'm in that area. It's at Madison and 36th Street, and I just happened to be over there, and I didn't even know what the exhibits were. And I go in, and one of the exhibits is John Singer Sargent.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Who was an American who was born in Europe, but was a great painter of the 19th century, mostly into the 20th century. And, you know, there's always been a dispute about... Apparently he did have a daughter, never married.
I heard mixed things about his sexuality.
I want you to look at some of these pictures and tell me whether he's gay. I mean, this, you know, and these aren't the racy ones. This is one, a model called Olimpio Fusco. Sargent clearly admired the young man's beauty and noted his address on the sheet after he did a sketch of him. This is an exhibit of John Singer Sargent's charcoal sketches. Get them while they're hot. And look, I mean, and this other guy is Philip Sassoon, who was described as an aesthete, connoisseur, and patron of the arts. He was elected to Parliament at the age of 24 and known as the Baby of the House. Well, I mean, and he painted a lot of guys like this. I just think he had an eye for the guys, for sure.
Well, for beauty.
And for women. I mean, he also did Philip Sassoon's sister, who was also quite beautiful, but it looks exactly like him. And so, you know, I mean...
I just think back then, they were queer before they said the word queer. There was a lot more fluidity, especially in the artistic circles.
Uh-huh.
So he might not have identified in any particular way.
Who knows? But I mean, you know, and you look at some of his other work, you can Google him. Just Google John Singer Sargent gay and you see what comes up. And then across the hall, and I have to say, you can condemn me, but this is an artist I didn't know, Dwayne Michaels, M-I-C-H-A-L-S, a show called Illusions of the Photographer, and he's openly gay.
Okay.
He was born in the 1930s. And then in the rotunda of... Have you been to the Morgan?
Yes.
Okay, so they have that rotunda room where they put out documents. And of course, if you go into the big rooms where Mr. Morgan used to be, they've got Gutenberg... They got a Gutenberg Bible. They have three Gutenberg Bibles there at that place. But they put out these documents that... they put one... A letter from George Takei, right... calling for impeachment of Richard Nixon in 1973. And now, of course, he's been an activist for a long time. They had several gay documents from the 1970s, including an ad for Harvey Milk and others, and one for, and there was a document about women's suffrage, about the first woman to vote in a federal election in, like, Wyoming or something. I mean, this was, it's all very moving stuff, you know, these documents from the past. And they had a gay magazine there. So, yes, there's that. All right. We got a little time here. Let's catch up on our television watching. What are you into these days?
What am I watching? Gosh, I mean, I'm so busy with stuff, but I do like a good Netflix binge.
Yes.
Anything with strong female characters.
Yes.
Anything
like Her Majesty and The Crown?
Yes. I dip in and out of that, but tell me what you know. You have some inside info.
Well, I'm into season three now.
Okay.
All right. I mean, what a family. I mean, they're a mess. but I mean, I don't want to give away what's going on because you probably haven't binge watched it or anything. But you know, we're now into the 1960s and 70s.
Now the Queen is Olivia Colman is playing the Queen.
She's terrific. She seems very unhappy. But in the first episode, and I'm not going to tell you what happens with this, but and for those of you who know history, this is famous. Her art conservator in Buckingham Palace was Anthony Blunt.
That's right.
Right? Played by Samuel West in this case. And it's a good characterization. And I won't tell you what it's all about. I'll let you discover it for yourself. But there's no mention of his homosexuality. Mm. He was clearly gay. I mean, do you have to mention it all the time? Maybe not. I mean, it's produced by Stephen Daldry, who was also the director of The Inheritance on Broadway there. And an out gay man who's married to a woman. You know. Oh, yes, he married a... He's very open about this, so... wife is a lesbian. I mean, you know, but they wanted to have a kid, and...
Right.
He did this after 9/11.
I see.
He just something about... I think for Stephen Daldry, we're really being digressive
here. What an interesting case. But this is... Yes. He wanted some kind of permanence,
His paternal instincts came out when he did Billy Elliot.
I see, right.
And he became sort of a second father to the actor who played Billy Elliot. And then I think he just decided he wanted to have a family with, and then that's the arrangement that they've had right here in New York. All right.
Interesting.
Lord Mountbatten.
But I love, Lord Mountbatten, but the royals have so many skeletons in the closet, as we know from the recent discussions about Prince Andrew.
Oh, my God. He'll be in episode 10 with Jeffrey Epstein. But what about that this week with him?
Oh.
He totally screwed up on this interview that he did about Jeffrey Epstein. Everybody thought he just dug himself deeper into it.
He shouldn't be speaking to the media. He should be speaking to law enforcement, I think. But it's really one of the shocking things about this case for me is the involvement of women in oppressing other women. That really we're hearing about these madams and these women that were basically going out and finding young girls and luring them into
the Maxwell woman.
I mean, that's really disturbing. And she's still at large. No one knows where she is.
Yes, and they don't seem to pay for this. By the way, you're making me think. In the, again, another thing they don't deal with in The Crown, at one point, Edward Heath becomes the prime minister. He was single. He was apparently dumped by a girlfriend when he was young, and he never married. All right, so he's an odd character. But after he died, Edward Heath, he was accused by several people of child molestation.
Oh.
And they did an investigation, and they never seemed to resolve any of the cases.
Wow.
But that's all on Wikipedia, if you want to check all these things out. And then Lord Mountbatten also apparently had a penchant for boys. And, he's played by Charles Dance now, but no mention of his bisexuality. And Lord Snowden, who was Princess Margaret's husband, right? Lord Snowden.
He was a great photographer, right?
Oh, yes. Great photographer. Went all over the world for magazines and everything. Nothing about his bisexuality. They talk about him as a womanizer.
Right.
And he was screwing around all the time. They show that. I mean, I'm not giving too much away. You knew that about Lord Snowden, didn't you? But in reading about him, I didn't realize he'd had a child out of wedlock before he met Margaret. The daughter didn't find out about it until she was 40.
My goodness.
That's not in The Crown. It should be. It's quite interesting. And he had another child out of wedlock after he left Margaret. And he was with another wife, and he had another affair. I mean, these are the role models for all of us.
Where do they find the time?
Where do they find it? So, okay, this country. We are taping on the day that there are more investigations into the president and into the impeachment
hearings. Yes,
and if you're are you watching it at all?
Yes, I am watching.
And what are you getting? Anne was saying last week she's not even confident that he's going to be impeached. In other words, the House voting. But I think it's building certainly with the testimony today this week that it's clear that he did these things for the wrong reasons. And I think Democrats at least can vote for impeachment. What do you think? What's your feeling?
I just have a horrible feeling that none of it's going to stick. That we're hearing all of this information, we know what the right thing is, what the ethical thing is, but the sands have shifted so much in terms of what is ethically acceptable that I wonder if it's going to stick.
Well, I mean, again, they keep saying in these impeachment hearings, you know, do you want presidents going forward to be able to operate this way?
To be able
to use their office for political gain?
Well, you hit the nail on the head, and this is what I'll say.
With foreign affairs.
This is what I'm going to say. I think that Donald Trump's constituents and his actual base would say that they approve of this behavior, that they think it's acceptable that the president is out there making, doing anything to make a deal for this country.
But it's not for this country, it's for himself. That's the deal. Of course he should be making a deal for the country, but he's making a deal for himself.
That's not me speaking, that's me putting on a hat, saying what I think they're going to say, because this is the kind of proviso under which they elected him, was that he would go in swinging, that he would do all of this stuff.
Well, I mean, if only he had done what he had said he would do, which is he was going to lower prescription drug prices and he was going to give you the best health care possible and he was going to drain the swamp. But all he's done is fill it up with people who are against the environment, speaking of swamps and things like that, and education. And you can go down every issue and he's made it worse, except if you are right wing, he has given you the judges that you have always wanted, who are going to get rid of abortion rights, who are going to get rid of gay rights. And this is what he's put into place, which is why I say at this point, whoever the Democrat is, and they keep talking about modifying the Supreme Court, which Congress and the president can do. They can make it larger or smaller. I believe that has to be done. I mean, Franklin Roosevelt tried to do that. They called it court packing.
Right.
Democrats didn't let him do it. But it's got to be done at this point, or we're going to be living under a regime that is going to, you know, attack our rights for the rest of our lives, I think. So they're talking about it more, but I think it needs to be done. I want Democrats to stand up more on these issues and be stronger, because we've got to get out of this mess.
No, I'd like to see more unity amongst the Democrats, too. It seems to be such a competitive field.
I know. I'm going to quote Ronald Reagan favorably. You know, he had the 11th commandment, do not speak ill of your fellow Republican. And they, you know, there's a little bit too much giving sound bites to the Republicans for the general election. Look, you know, Joe Biden attacked Elizabeth Warren, or, you know, Pete Buttigieg attacked Joe Biden, or whatever. You know, I mean, that those things will be run in the future, and that's not good. All right. What do you got coming up in Curve? We're down to our last minute. What do you got coming up in Curve magazine?
Oh, Curve Land has just wrapped its holiday issue. So pick up a copy of the magazine if you want to see some really good seasonal.
You have a website? Can we follow you on Twitter?
Yes, follow me on Twitter. Merin1 is my handle.
How do you spell that?
Oh, MERRR. YN.
If you sign up for our emails at gayusatv.org, you can go there and we'll put you on our you get on your email list yourself, and you'll get all these things. We'll stick that in the emails. Thank you for being with us, Merin.
Thank you for having me.
It was fun. All right, we'll see you next week with I think Anne will be back for our Thanksgiving show.